The Battle of the White Mountain. The time, 1620, when all of Western Europe was caught up in a gigantic struggle for power. The place, not far from the city of Prague, in a country then known as Bohemia. Today, Bohemia is a part of Czechoslovakia. The fighters, enraged Bohemians battling the armies of their Austrian ruler, Ferdinand II. Ferdinand carried on such intense religious and political persecution that the Bohemians decided to revolt to get a ruler of their own choosing. But they were no match for Ferdinand's professional soldiers. The result? Disaster. The Bohemian revolt was so thoroughly crushed that even after more than 200 years, cruel Austrian masters still held this once proud country in humiliating bondage. It was into this troubled land that a child was born in the year 1841. This child was Antonín Leopold Dvořák, and he was destined one day to help the Bohemian people regain their lost voice of freedom. As the boy grew from infancy to childhood, the townsfolk in Antonín's sleepy village took it for granted that when the boy's formal schooling was ended, he would go to work full-time in his father's inn and the little butcher shop out back. Little did any of them suspect that Antonín would someday become his country's foremost composer. Not that Papa Dvořák was opposed to music, you understand. On the contrary, he himself enjoyed playing the fiddle and was all in favor of letting his son have fun with music, as long as it didn't interfere with business, of course. Besides, love of music was a centuries-old Bohemian tradition. Everybody made music in Bohemia. And so did Antonín, for all he was worth. When he wasn't making music, he was listening to it. He especially loved to sit at concerts of visiting gypsy bands and never tired of hearing the older folks sing the songs of their native land. But Antonín's most exciting moments were spent entertaining his father's customers at the inn. He would play for hours at a time, everything from merry dance tunes to sad village melodies. Among his regular listeners was his uncle Zdaněk, who had come to feel that the boy's musical gifts were too rich to be wasted on overnight guests. One night, Zdaněk decided to have a serious talk with Antonín and his father about the youngster's future. But Papa Dvořák didn't agree with Zdaněk's solution at all.
No, I will not send him to Prague or any place else to study music. From Professor Spitz, the village musician, he has learned all the music he needs to know.
Not if he's to really develop his abilities and become as much as he can be. Why, with his talent, it would be a crime not to let him go as far as possible.
Do you think I might really become a professional musician someday, Papa? Do you think it's possible that...
No, it is not possible. Aside from the fact that I need the boy here with me, Zdaněk, you know full well how the Austrians have for years been forcing honest Bohemian musicians out of work and replacing them with their own men. Why, he'd probably be obliged to leave the country just to scrape out a living.
Leaving this country might not be a bad idea. What freedoms do we have, eh? Are we not denied our right to trial by jury? Denied our freedom of the press? Even denied the right to read books in our native Bohemian language?
Professor Spitz says that people now are using music to express their desire for freedom.
And he's right, Antonín. Since it's forbidden to print and publish books in the Bohemian language, the people are substituting music for the printed word to convey those ideas of freedom the Austrians would never allow.
And I want to become a part of that music, Papa. I want to express the voice of the people through music and help Bohemia to become free. Don't you see?
Yes, I see. All too well. Now, Antonín, to survive, you must become practical. Learn the butcher's trade and the art of keeping an inn. And when I retire, this business will be yours. And in the meantime, enjoy your music making by all means. But only as a hobby, Antonín. Only as a hobby.
Despite himself, however, Papa Dvorak eventually gave in to his son's wishes when Uncle Zdanek offered to pay for the boy's musical education. At 16, full of ambition, Antonin enrolled in the famous organ school, one of the leading musical academies in the capital city of Prague. 2 years later, however, when Uncle Zdanek ran out of money for Antonin's musical education, the boy had to join a cafe orchestra in order to stay in school. The pay was so low, he often went hungry. But he was encouraged to keep on with his studies by changes he saw taking place in the world around him. In 1860, the Austrian Emperor Franz Joseph granted more freedom to the captive nations he ruled. After generations of strict control, the world of art, literature, and music suddenly came to life. Bohemian painters, writers, and composers now began to openly express their patriotism in their works. Sometime later, after graduating from the organ school, Antonin met one of these patriots. His name was Bedrick Smetana, a man who intended to express his patriotism by composing operas about his Bohemian homeland. Smetana's ambitious plans made an unforgettable impression on Antonin. Perhaps it was the memory of Smetana's ideas that inspired Antonin some years later to compose a patriotic work, honoring his country's long struggle for independence. When the finished piece was performed in Prague, the audience gave it a standing ovation, and suddenly the composer was famous. At last, Antonin felt he could afford to get married. In 1873, Anna Tsermakova became his wife. Their marriage was destined to become one of the happiest in all musical history. By this time, Johannes Brahms, the great German composer, had become a dedicated champion of Antonin's music. In 1878, he persuaded his publisher to engage Antonin to compose a set of piano pieces in the style of his own highly successful Hungarian dances. The result was one of Dvorak's most popular works, The Colorful Slavonic Dances. These dances are a collection of rhythmic pieces depicting the folk tunes of Bohemia and the neighboring countries of Serbia, Slovakia, the Ukraine, and Poland. With the Slavonic dances, Dvorak gained worldwide recognition that brought him great satisfaction. By writing about and for the people of his native land, he found his personal key to musical success and made Bohemia's music and her love of freedom familiar themes to people everywhere. But, as it must come to all men, rich or poor, Antonin's happiness was stilled for a time. Shortly before Christmas of 1882, he received news that his dear mother had passed away. Not long before, her love had inspired him to compose the lovely Songs My Mother Taught Me. Several years later, tired of the hustle and bustle of city life, Antonin and his wife Anna bought a house in the country some distance from Prague. They converted it into a charming summer cottage. It was here that he composed one of his real masterpieces, the great D minor symphony. Antonin often said that his ability to compose with great speed and skill was due to his contentment with an understanding wife. A homespun, home-loving man, he was fond of working on his music in the kitchen, amid the aromas of baking bread and steaming cabbage. Besides, the peaceful kitchen was a welcome change from his busy study. Here, it was not at all unusual to find Antonin giving a piano lesson in the midst of the bedlam created by his happy children at play. Despite the demands of his crowded composing and teaching schedule, all six of his growing youngsters were welcome at any time. Indeed, young people of all ages adored the composer wherever he went. His students at the Prague Conservatory, where he was appointed a professor in later years, followed him about constantly. But the day one of them ventured to praise him too extravagantly, the humble composer stopped, turned to him, and said,
"Young man, you are not speaking to a god. I am a very ordinary person, and I remain what I was from the beginning, a plain and simple bohemian music maker. Nothing more."
In 1892, the composer went to America, where he had been invited to become director of the National Conservatory of Music in New York City. He accepted the position with some reluctance, as neither he nor his wife liked the idea of leaving their beloved homeland. But the job had its rewards. Among them was the Dvorak's friendship with Henry Burley, a conservatory student who introduced the composer to spirituals and plantation songs. Charmed by these melodies, Antonin planned a new symphony which would reflect American folk music. One black folk song which particularly inspired Antonin was the lovely "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." The spirit of this melody can be recognized quite easily as it sings its way through the first movement of Antonin's symphony, which he entitled "From the New World." Listen. The highlight of Antonin's visit to the United States was the summer he spent in Spillville, Iowa, a peaceful little bohemian settlement located deep in America's Midwest. While there, Antonin attended several performances of a program of authentic Indian songs and dances. This experience probably inspired his now famous American Quartet in F major, which he composed entirely in Spillville. In time, however, homesickness for their native land overtook the Dvoraks, and in 1895, they returned to Bohemia for good. Back home again, Antonin finished some of the pieces he had started in America. Among them was the popular Humoresque, which many say was inspired by his visit to Spillville. One morning, in the early spring of 1904, Antonin was taking his usual walk to the railroad yards to enjoy his favorite pastime, watching the arrival and departure of the powerful steam locomotives. The day was so cold and windy that Antonin caught a severe chill. A few weeks later, the great composer became seriously ill and died soon afterward. By a curious coincidence, the date of his death was May 1st, a day which in many countries is set aside to honor the working people of the world. For as long as he lived, this simple, deeply religious man never once forgot his humble origins, and to the end remained a worker, a man of the people. In so doing, he wrote music that was sincere, honest, heartfelt, and direct. Music that gave wings to those things in life he cherished the most. Nature, humanity, and the songful spirit of his homeland. Antonin Dvorak, voice of his people, composer for the common man, and music's most beloved bohemian.